Hi, I'm Justin Cornett, dentist at MCHC Knott County Dental Clinic. We believe that dental care should be affordable and easily accessible. At MCHC, we offer same-day appointments and are accepting new patients. And thanks to MCHC Sliding Scale, you only pay based on your family size and income, so no one will be turned away. Your family's oral health is important to us, and it's just another way that Mountain Comprehensive Health Corporation provides better health for a longer life.
With Wes Smith, presented by MCHC. You know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Wes Smith, Winston Lee, Brady Kennedy, and guys, I wanted to do something a little bit different today, just because what people don't see outside of this podcast is every Saturday there is a group text that I'm in that features Winston. I'm in several group texts with Winston. One of those in particular, I feel like we never talk in until Saturday. And it's got three people in it. Me, Winston, and our beloved producer, Josh Cornett at HT24. And man, Winston says all the time, I wish this was a podcast episode, or wish this was on the show, because I feel like me and Josh will just go back and forth about Kentucky football the entire time while Winston is DJing a wedding somewhere and has no idea what's going on in the game. And so me and Josh will be going back and forth, and Winston will be like, what happened? Tell me, what's the score?
That's true. I can vouch. That is 100% true. That happens literally every Saturday, except for the one Saturday that I actually got to go to the game with you and Brady.
Yep.
And I hope when Josh edits this, he'll clip to Brady real quick. But when we went to the tailgate and I devoted my one Saturday, the one Saturday I had free, to Kentucky football, and I had a great time at the tailgate thanks to you guys. But, of course, we all know how that game went. I wasted my money.
So it was your fault.
I'll take blame. That's fine. I'll take blame. It was totally my fault. But both lines got absolutely just drilled in the trenches. They just folded over and flopped like hot cakes in the trenches. It was terrible, like they were on a hot griddle.
This game has had an emotional impact on you, Winston. This is the second time this has been brought up on this podcast.
Well, let's reflect. So, I mean, we now see how this game has essentially ruined our season, right? We play within 1 point of Georgia. Fine. Let's take that loss. And then we upset Mississippi at the Grove. I mean, what if you would have beat South Carolina? What if you would have beat Georgia? But I'm still saying our best chance was to beat South Carolina at home. And now all of a sudden South Carolina is terrible. Like, now all of a sudden South Carolina's not very good. Ole Miss did whatever they wanted with them, and now it's just like, man, how did this happen? And then, granted, South Carolina did play close with LSU, and I get it. But LSU is just so – that's what LSU does. They'll win a bunch of games, but it's like they will dang near get beat by somebody that they're not supposed to get beat by and end up outscoring them and winning anyway. Like, that's just what they do.
That's what they do.
If we beat South Carolina there, I think that we get beat probably by 20 or more by Georgia and then lose to Ole Miss. I think South Carolina set a fire under.
That's a great take.
That could be true. That's a good take. Yeah, I guess I'm taking in consideration, like, I'm given the fact that the rest of the schedule plays out the way that it, you know, the way that it has. And maybe you're right. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe we get killed by Georgia and beat by Ole Miss. You know, and then I don't know how I feel. Are you Do you feel less satisfied or more satisfied with your 3-2 mark if you beat South Carolina at home and lose to Ole Miss? Or would you rather lose to South Carolina and beat Ole Miss? Which one would you rather have? Does it matter?
Well, I think that brings up a good point, too, because I think you're more satisfied with how it's played out thus far, right? Because I mentioned on the podcast last week, we all talked about, minus Josh, who's with us today, we all talked about how, according to a lot of outside people, Kentucky is the favorite in every game the rest of this season, right? So
I cannot believe this line is 13 and a half. I mean, Vandy just beat the number one team in the country. And granted, we beat Ole Miss at Ole Miss. But
yeah,
I cannot believe – I fully expect that this line is going to close the closer we get to kickoff. I can't believe
– It won't stay.
I can't believe it's two full scores. I would have understood 9.5. I would have understood 6.5. I would have understood – You know, I would have understood anything less than what it is. I can't believe it was this morning. It was 13 and a half. I can't believe that.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Because if you beat South Carolina, but you lose to Georgia and Ole Miss, and then Vandy goes and beats Bama, you're probably not the favorite at that point, right?
Yeah. If things would have played out in reverse.
Yeah.
If things played out in reverse, no, I don't think you are the favorite. And I'll be honest with you. I'm scared. I don't want to get ahead of you. I don't want to get ahead of you. I know you. You've probably got a direction to go, so I'm not going to jump ahead.
Well, this is right on track. You know, I want to talk about this matchup Saturday and the what ifs, because I mean, guys, we talked last week about how, you know, a lot of people thought 6-7 wins, and we're still maybe there, but we went after the South Carolina game from everybody thinking that, man, this season is kind of in ruins, to now we're one of the biggest games of the weekend.
Well, we talked about this in that beloved group text. Is I don't know, and we mentioned this last week on the show, and I know you all, we got some NIL talk coming up later with, of course, the news that came down. Was it yesterday or today concerning national letter of intent? So your letter of an intention on where you're going to go, like essentially being washed away now. But I think that something with the NIL has caused so much parity, which is wild. I was under the assumption that, okay, the schools that are great with the biggest amount, with the biggest purse, right? Which will probably, you would assume in college football, be Georgia, Alabama, you know, maybe Texas, Michigan, Ohio State, you know, LSU, like the big dogs, like the big, big dogs, Oregon, even maybe even like some on those West Coasts. They're going to fork out money and they're going to have these big badass teams and nobody's going to be able to touch it. And I don't know what happened. Maybe Brady could explain this to me. Because it's going to happen in basketball too, right? If it's happening in college football, and I think we saw it in college basketball last year, but UConn was somehow able to dispel that like completely,
yep,
and be the favorites and win it like by these huge margins. But I feel like the storm is just coming, man, is that somehow NIL has created this storm of perfect parity where I feel like anybody can lose at any given time. I mean, if you tell me Vandy beats Alabama on a different planet, like, I don't care where it's at. I don't care. If the names on the jerseys were the same, we could have took a Pee Wee Alabama team and said, hey, they're playing Vandy. I would have still took Alabama, right? Like, on what planet does this happen? And so I feel like somehow it has caused this crazy parallel universe.
But is
and
that
– I'm trying to enjoy it, but it's stressful.
Is Vanderbilt beating Alabama a result of NIL? Do we know Vandy's NIL deals that they have with these guys? Did NIL help them get?
Vanderbilt is like the Harvard of the South. Like, these kids go there and become like chemical engineers and doctors. Like, they don't even worry. They ain't even worried about football. They don't even care.
They literally.
Vandy's pretty good at baseball, But they don't even care.
They spent the entire game engineering a way to get the goalpost to the river.
Last year, they played on the construction site. Last year, it was a dirt field. They don't care.
And honestly, what's getting lost in all of this is what better year to open it up to 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
Like this, the 12-team playoff, I am so stoked. And I'm not a college.
You should be. Because
it's going to be amazing.
The 12 seed can win it. The last team can win it. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
I'm honestly going to be considered top 12 team.
Now I'm probably – I would rather them remove a game out of the regular season and add it to 24 teams. I would rather that.
It's going to be like March Madness level, isn't it? It's going to be wild.
You could have a team win the national championship this year as a 12 seed in a league that, in the history of the league, the team wouldn't have even had an opportunity to play. It would have been a Music City Bowl or something. So, I mean, it's definitely changing that landscape of it. And, I mean, I don't know, man. It is wild, and NIL's creating that. I do want to mention, Winston, you mentioned the National Letter of Intent. So our NLI, instead of NIL, we'll flip a couple letters around. And that was big news, right, that came out today, yesterday, whenever that was. But, you know, the thing is, I'm not so sure does it create that big of a difference. And, Brady, this is something you can probably talk on a little bit more, because I'm pretty sure that I've heard, you know, and we've talked about in a previous podcast, did the National Letter of Intent even really mean anything to begin with? Players could still get out of this until they basically got on campus, received financial aid, right?
Yeah, it really only meant a freshman or a high schooler was the only one that could sign a National Letter of Intent. So it didn't matter to anybody else other than that, which is why there was only two basically windows that they could sign it. That's why you had National Signing Day. So when it comes to transfers, like a guy like Nate Sestina, who you had on as a guest, like he didn't sign a National Letter of Intent. He signed an SEC agreement. And so all that does is these guys sign SEC agreements. All that does is it basically locks them out of basically being able to play with any other school in the SEC.
In the conference.
Correct. Yeah. So really that's all you're really locking them into. But what I'm hearing is going to happen is these collectives in NIL, right, basically collective and groups of people that sign these guys to deals in these contracts when they sign. So a guy like a Jasper Johnson, right? Like he signs with Kentucky, right? Like let's say he signs a deal with,
Morgan and Morgan?
Yeah. Or like, you know what I mean? Let's say he signs with the Blue Collective or whatever the collective is. Like, yeah. I'm sure Club he got, Blue. I don't know. Again, I'm not in the college space anymore. I'm not as in tune with the college rules, but I'm playing hypotheticals now at this point, but my guess is there's got to be some kind of legal binding agreement in that Jasper or a high school kid of some nature has to do to get paid. And so there's got to be something there probably that locks him into something, because if not, I'm sure there's a lot more smarter people out there than us that are going to lock them into something so that if they do leave, they've got to pay back money, right? So that's that way, like whatever money they got from that collective, they're not just running from it and losing out on that, like maybe 300K they got before they stepped on campus, whereas they're going to have to forfeit that money back or something. There's going to be something, but really back to your original question, that NLI or that I'm getting wrong, NLI,
all the acronyms, the
scheme of things, the high school, it was really, really good. And it was really impactful for the high school kid. It locked them into a school. For the transfers,
nothing.
It didn't. They couldn't. They weren't allowed to sign it. So,
well, literally, I mean, you're obviously, if you're a collective like Club Blue or you're one of these schools' collectives, you're not going to get paid crap until your on-campus school starts and you start playing. I mean, who would do that anyway? If I'm, you know, kids might get some things. They might get a vehicle. They might get a little bit of money. But I'm sure, like you said, there's going to be a contract in that that says, if we give you this, you have to play at Kentucky. If for some reason you don't, you have to pay it back.
Something. I would assume, I'm guessing, this is all hypotheticals. I'm assuming that there's got to be language in something. If I was doing it, I would. I mean,
I can tell you right now, I am a pioneer member to Club Blue, and it comes out of my monthly bank account. And if I have $25 a month deducted from my bank account that goes to Jasper Johnson's pocket, and he ends up playing it at Arkansas, I'm raising hell. I want my $25 back.
I'm also a gold card carrying member of the Paddock Bourbon Club.
You're and an alumni, alibi.
Alibi black card carrying member.
Yes.
That's don't tell anybody. Itself.
I wonder if this came about, like, I'll be on, we've mentioned this on the show before, is like, and then it comes around again, is I think obviously if the NCAA, this is the NCAA's attempt, you know, like they see the writing that's obviously on the wall, is that something is going to have, like, we have to have some type, and I don't know, maybe this eliminated a parameter, it sounds like. But by eliminating that parameter, maybe you gain the parameter eventually of, you know, there has to be some type of expectation or accountability held on these athletes, especially after the Sluka, you know, ordeal. Is that his name? You know, where you just up and leave, you know, like, well, what about the people that actually gave you money? And what about the fact that you didn't sign your name? Like, I think this eventually leads to kids have to sign their name on paper with contracts and expectations. And I do think also, I've said this from the beginning, but people say it's too far gone. You've told me before it's too far gone. And I believe that. But I just can't help but feel like if we want to play big boys and get paid, like if you want to play big boy and get paid, sign a contract. Tell us you're going to be here for the long haul. You're going to play X amount of games or you're going to be on campus for this long, right? Like, you can't just up and leave. And then I personally think eventually the NCAA has to try to – I think they should try to cap it. But then, of course, the argument becomes, well, what about the bigger players? Obviously, you want to play the bigger – pay the bigger players more. But it's almost like I almost want to set salary caps for these schools. But I do – You know, maybe agree. Maybe that's too far gone.
I think even if you sign, if you play salary caps on schools, players are still going to find ways to get money through other sponsors and other deals. I mean, they've done it in the past, even when this was illegal. They found ways to get paid.
I was going to say probably what that would lead to would be under the table.
Yes.
NIL money, right? It's like these companies wouldn't even put anything in writing at that point. They'd slide it under the table, right, and say, well, we didn't give them none. You know, Brad Calipari ain't driving a brand new Ford Mustang, customized out on campus. So that didn't happen. So it's like, I do feel like at least, at the very least, let's set some expectations and sort of maybe if it doesn't have to be a binding contract, they're signing something that gives their intentions on, you know, and determining whether they get paid or not.
But you brought up the point, which a good point, the there was a lot of strict rules around the NLI. And yeah. That I did read today. That is a reason I think that they look to eliminate it. The timing and the windows in which you could sign, there was a lot of strict rules on when and how and when you could submit it and in ways. It was like it was a pain. And when you were trying to kind of orchestrate it on some different levels, and like it got really easy once you could do it electronically, like DocuSign and all that. That made it super easy. But back in the day, man, you were faxing it, emailing it, you were mailing it. I mean, I remember my first go around, we mailed it, and that was that. I mean, that was the first.
Let's put it simple. You have schools have collectives, but that money comes from businesses and donors.
Bourbon clubs.
Yes.
And Josh, you have a lot to do with HT24 and marketing and other things. Let's say you, David Thacker, and the Thacker and Grigsby team decide you want to sponsor a young Winston Lee coming up out of Whitesburg High School, who you want him to go to UK. HT24 and Thacker and Grigsby Communications put a lot of money into Club Blue NIL because you want to get this hometown Winston Lee kid in at UK. And all this money goes to it. And then all of a sudden, Winston announces, no, I'm going to go play for Coach Hurley at UConn. How do you feel that your business money that you donated isn't working for what you donated it for? I mean, donors aren't going to accept that, right?
I don't think so, no. Yeah. I mean, I would be upset, yeah. I mean, a lot of money.
So there's going to have to be, we're going to see some binding contracts in this, or NIL money is not going to happen.
I'd be pretty upset. I would think that you have to have accountability from both parties.
Yeah.
How upset would you be if this kid
– all parties, not both, but all parties.
Yeah, yeah. This Winston Lee kid.
So you guys know every Friday, most Fridays in the fall season, we do a little Before the Whistle at Hometown 24, and it's a blast. And, of course, we miss Wes every week, which he was able to join us the first week. But it's been a great time with Manus, and David has tagged in some. We've had some guests, and it's been a lot of fun. But this week, unfortunately, and I'll probably tell Josh to air this again if Manus and the boys don't do Before the Whistle. But I'm going to Chattanooga this week. This week was my anniversary. 7 years, people lost a lot of money. Blue. Nobody had us going seven. I think the over-under was like five. I mean, probably the over-under was like three. Hell, probably the over-under was like a week. And we've killed that. I mean, seven. I mean, I'm rolling.
Some props, man.
I credit a lot of my prayers for Whitney Hogley. I pray for her daily.
Blue was very integral in the first year of – I'm not telling you what happened around that, Wes was – he was almost like – he was almost like an improv counselor for the first few months that I was married. So yeah. I can give a lot of credit to Wes Smith for seeing me through. I won't give him credit for all seven, but definitely in that first year, like – Wes was, he was my hype guy. So
I felt part of the family. I felt like I was part of the Lee household, you know?
Oh, yeah, you were there. You mediated. be it possibly unwillingly. and you just had your first anniversaries. That was very recent, within the last month. Both of you had your year one anniversaries. Year one is the toughest. I don't know if Josh can probably tell you that. I think year one is the toughest.
And it's
college, right? It's like college.
And you had
the toughest.
You had your year one anniversary as Reverend.
I've had my anniversary as Reverend. I think if I were to do another, so we're pumping Ortelli. He's not going to watch this. But when it's time, I'm going to feel really comfortable. I feel comfortable now. I got the first one on the belt. I read too much. I'm not going to read the next one. I'm going to go straight off the top. It's going to be great.
I thought it was wonderful. I was sitting there and I think Brady was getting a little bit nervous before the wedding of, is Winston going to be able to do this? And I was like, look, I know one thing about Winston Lee, he can pull anything out of his make a speech happen, make something happen. He's going to kill this.
I can't with anybody. You tell me. I'm not the strongest. I'm not the strongest. I'm not the smartest. But now when you get me stepping with the boots on, I can go stomping.
I want to eventually circle back to Vandy in UK, but while we're on the topic of bullshitting and stomping in the mud and everything else, right. I want to bring up, you know, there's a lot of things going on, and my nightly mind, I'm very undiagnosed ADHD, and my nightly mind when I lay in the bed often sends me down vacuums. And a recent vacuum I got on was life in the North Korean Kim Jong-un regime. I'm really excited for here's to because I don't think any of you guys said that you had gotten in this vacuum and read about this. I know some people out there probably heard about it, but I jumped in this vacuum of the North Korean regime with Kim Jong-un, and I actually found out under his dad, the other supreme leader, that he started basketball and actually wrote these rules for their basketball league. Have you guys seen those?
No. I'm not aware of the rules in North Korea, Wes.
So you're getting ready to be. So you talk about NIL shaking the landscape of NCAA football and probably basketball. What if we introduced some of these rules into the NBA? And I just want to hear your reaction to this, hearing it for the first time. Obviously, here in the United States in the NBA, we have a two-point shot. We have a three-point shot. We have a one-point shot on a free throw. But obviously, in the United States in the NBA, how do you score 3 points all at once? Tell me.
You shoot a three.
But you shoot a three behind the arc. The line's painted on the floor. That's painted over there as well. However, and I'm really curious to know how they actually score this. I think it's Kim Jong-un says, happened. Because if you shoot a shot from anywhere on the court, it can be a layup. If the ball does not touch the rim and goes through swish, nothing but net, doesn't touch the rim, it's worth 3 points.
But if it bounces off the backboard or hits the rim, it's worth two?
Worth two.
That's amazing.
Yep.
You know, that's, you know, in all honesty, that's not too far off from FIBA saying if it hits the goal, then you can knock it off the goal. And I think what's so interesting about that is I think as the Olympic team actually went on and played through the Olympics, is like they got used to that rule. Like I saw LeBron pull it off the rim a couple of times on the opposing basket. It's like, oh, yeah, I can pull it off. And I don't think last year when we played in FIBA that team never really got the concept of, oh, yeah, I can grab it off the rim. Like, I'm a big dude. So, like, that's not too far-fetched. That's like a skill level thing. Like, you shoot a bullseye on archery, it's worth more.
Yep.
So, it's like, that's not crazy.
Yep.
So, can you go up and, like, finger roll it?
Yeah. If it don't touch the rim, 3 points.
What if you dunk it?
Okay. Dunks are also worth 3 points.
Okay. All right. So, yes. You know what? What is the most entertaining play in basketball?
Exactly. You're trying to make it entertaining.
Is he on to something? Is he on to something?
From the 70s or 60s, whenever we first started dunking it, right? And it was like 70s Dr. J, who like was the man that really said, all right, I'm going to showboat and entertain with a dunk. I love it because it's like, you're putting the emphasis on one of the most entertaining plays in basketball.
Well, and obviously it changes the landscape because you've seen guys like Steph Curry transform the game and to all these kids want to shoot threes. But if you can also get 3 points from going up with a, you know, with a slam-a-jamma, you got kids wanting to do that now, right?
I'm with it. I love a dunk being worth three. And because honestly, I mean, it takes a certain talent level or skill level to dunk when as you could just lay it up.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
You could just lay it up. One of my kids in practice the other day tried to go down the lane and dunk. And it was going to be great, but he missed it. I lost a game last year because Gavin Gibson tried to drive down the lane and he tried to dunk with two hands. And it bounces off the back iron. The other opposing team collects, transition, boom, boom, and goes down and hits a three. We lose.
Yep.
So it's like,
you know, win or lose, it was still an exciting play.
If you complete the dunk, maybe it should be worth three.
So it gets even better. And I think these following ones that I'm getting ready to tell you, I'm curious to know, all three of you, how much it would impact the NBA. Okay. Free throws. We all know what free throw shooting is like often in the NBA.
Yes.
Missed free throws are minus a point in North Korea.
Oh, my God.
One point is deducted from each missed free throw.
That is interesting. I'm actually... This sounds like it's like my grandma making the rules up how she would watch the game.
It's almost like I feel like I'm a kid out in the backyard. And we're like,
it makes so, all sense in the world. Like, yeah. It makes sense.
Here's where I'm at with that one. Is like, I think I'm cool, maybe, if we just, you know, in summer ball, right, where at you go to Georgetown College camp and some of these camps, if you foul somebody, the other team gets a point.
Yeah.
You've played that before.
Yep.
Like if you make a foul, so then the emphasis becomes you not fouling and more, and that essentially would translate to more scoring. I'm not so sure we just don't eliminate free throws altogether. Just eliminate free throws altogether. And if you get fouled, you get a point.
You know, I'm almost.
You've earned a foul. You get a point. If you get fouled on a shot, guess what? You get whatever that shot was going to be worth. It's already marked down. And then we throw it in and play ball again. You know?
So we've already gotten rid of the 1-1. So I almost.
Yes.
I almost, if we don't go as far as what you're saying, take out free throws, I could almost see them implementing. We've done this in summer ball, too, in camps. You've done this a million times.
One for two.
One for two.
Yeah.
One for
I did
two.
It today. I did it today. Every run we go in the gym, I do it today because I want them to play. I don't want to be shooting free throws all day.
Yeah.
Granted, I'll probably lose a shit ton of games this year because we didn't shoot free throws. But, you know, it's like, I want to play.
All right.
So, I don't know. I'm with it.
Get ready for this one. And, Josh, you've been quiet. So, I want to hear from everybody right here. And let's think about this. Let's think about some of the games that we have seen in our lifetime or even in the last few years. Buzzer beaters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any field goal made in the last 3 seconds of a game is worth 8 points.
Oh, my God.
So think about this. You can be down 8 points, make a buzzer beater, and you can tie the game. Or you can make it with 2.8 seconds left on the clock. It's 8 points. And then the other team's got a chance to go score eight as well.
Dude, that's – that. Why eight? Well, there's got to be something around the number eight.
There
why
has to eight? Be, yeah, there has to be some reason. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure there's some, you know, tyrannical thought process to make it 8 points. Right. But
it's Young Un's old number.
Oh,
Josh. Probably Vegas. Vegas probably come up with that number.
But Vegas probably come up with that number. So Vegas, Josh, that's a great point. What does that do to lines?
Changes them. I mean,
nothing but money lines. You can bet nothing but money lines. But how crushing would it be if your team was up seven and the other team hit the last second shot? That would be the worst beat ever.
And you know what that does? think about the fouling game at that point, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, you're up seven. You've got to play.
Getting rid of fouls.
Yeah.
Just get rid of fouls.
So what do you do there? Do you get, like, it almost makes you foul more, right? Because, I mean, if you foul them, they're at this point, the way their rules are written, you're shooting free throws. You're not getting 8 points.
They're actually, I mean, yeah, if they miss, that is.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I really like, and we've been doing this in practice some, is that obviously
8 point buzzer beaters?
No, but to that end, I will say that I used to enjoy the Rock and Jock, the is that what it was called? The Rock and Jock? You remember when MTV used to host the celebrity games? And
yeah.
I think they were called Rock and Jock.
That might be what it was. I remember the games.
So they would stack. I wouldn't do this, but I have an idea around this. Is they would stack backboards up. You know, they would have another goal above the goal. And if you made it at this other goal, it was worth more, right? Like, this is the 2-3 point goal. But if you made it at this goal, it was worth like 5 or 6 points. Y'all would have to look it up on that. And like, they stacked up the goals. And if you make it on this really high goal, like 20 feet in the air, then you would get more points. Now, I'm not saying go to that. But I do kind of like the idea of maybe having some other lines, right? You got a 3-point line. Shit, let's just have a 4-point line. Let's have a 5-point line, you know? I also really love TBT, and I don't necessarily like the way they do it, but I like the Elam ending where they set a goal, because what you see is you see both teams like playing hard to get to this goal score, right? Was the whole point around it, right? Like, even if you are down, well, you still have a great chance because time is not an issue anymore. All you got to do is put together stops, right? You don't even have to necessarily score quick buckets. You just need stops. So I love the Elam ending. We've been doing that in practice some, because obviously when you get in practice and you're running fives, it's like sometimes you got a team that pulls away by 10 with a minute left and everybody quits playing, you know, like, oh, whatever, this is over. And then you got to jump onto them and you know, whatever. So I've been doing this in practice. Like, we're the goal score is this now. Shut off the clock. Whoever gets to this first is going to win this game. So I love that idea. I don't necessarily like what the TBT does where they do it with, 3 minutes left in the game. I don't understand that. I would just assume play a quarter, play a shorter quarter, just play a quarter through and then set the score and say, here's no time left. Here's the score, right? Like, I don't understand cutting off the clock with 3 minutes to go. Just call it a quarter and cut the quarter down, you know, whatever. But I'm not necessarily a big fan of that, but I love that idea and I love that concept.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all interesting. We just think about, and you know, I feel like in the U.S. we're not always super crazy about change, but then it's like after we finally get used to that change, we live by it, right? Because, you know, we all remember seeing the days and hearing our dads and our grandpas talk about all the days before the 3-point line and, you know, all of this, and then how they hated the 3-point line when it came in. And now look at how beloved the 3-point line is in basketball.
Oh, we love it so much we moved it back.
Yeah. Yeah. it's always interesting. And I do kind of like that we experiment with some of these new rules in, you know, in the off season and in FIBA and other things. So I think that's a great place to experiment. But, you know, they're obviously look out for some of these because they're obviously we've seen in the past few years, they're trying to make the game a little more exciting.
All right. Really hot take. I'm going to ask all three of you. You can give me yes or no. You can give me yes or no. And if you want to give an explanation, go for it.
I think anytime you bring up a hot take, you should sing Hot to Go.
HOTTOGO. There's a TikTok dance to it, and I don't know. Okay. Brady, let's start here. I'm looking at y'all right to left. Should Kentucky high school basketball adopt a shot clock? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. No explanation. You're good.
Do you need an explanation?
I think yes.
I think yes, but I don't think it's feasible.
Okay. Because you got to have somebody to run it, right?
I think you need to have someone to run it. I think it's going to cause too many issues. And I don't think it's, I think there is a cost associated to it.
And not to influence anybody on down the line here as I go, but you not only need a human to run this, you need a human that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like when it hits the rim, it resets, honey. How many times per game are you going to have to stop the game and say, hey, when it hits the rim, it resets. Or when there's this situation, it resets. You know, like it's going to be tough. Or when it happens on this end, that's when it starts. You know, like that's not an easy, like everybody thinks this is like an easy cut, like job. Like, oh, you got X amount of time to score. It's not that easy.
It would take time, but obviously, you know, the shot clock was implemented at every other level at some point in time, and they finally got used to it. But yeah, obviously, it would be a learning process.
So, yes or no?
Yes.
Josh?
I don't know. I kind of like the stall ball every now and then. You know what I mean?
I say yes because I just think, you know, at every other level, college, NBA, we have a shot clock. And I'm going to be honest with you, you know, coaching with J.R. Hammond at Alice Lloyd, I noticed all the time, guys would come in. He doesn't mind a bit if I bring this up as one. We had a guy, Rudy Combs, point guard for Perry Central, played for Alan Hatcher. When we got him at Alice Lloyd, he was a tremendous point guard. Trying to get him accustomed to, hey, we've got 35 seconds once the ball is inbounded and possessed. If a team does a token 1-2-2 on us, we've got
20. You're going to have 27, 28 seconds by the time.
Yeah. And training them to get used to that was a process. Coming from a team like some of the teams in Kentucky do with stall ball, like Josh was talking about. So I do think it helps get players a little more accustomed to the next level. Obviously, when you're very high level, somewhere like Kentucky, you're a Division I basketball player. Chances are you didn't play stall ball and you didn't have to worry about it anyway. But I do think for a lot of other opportunities, I think if college does it, and I think you'll eventually see men's basketball go to four quarters. I think it'll happen eventually.
It has to.
Okay. That's a hot take.
Yeah.
NCAA basketball will eventually go to four quarters.
I think so. Women already have.
It's the only one that has it.
Yeah. And so if you say that, so
Brent like, just why gave not, the excuse. Right?
It's like you want TV timeouts.
It's because of
commercials.
Commercials, right? Like TV timeouts. Like we want to be able to take the TV timeout at X time.
But you hear what we just said. Why not? Everybody else does it.
No, I say
everybody
no.
else has a shot clock.
I say no. I think it's stupid. No, don't do the shot clock. I literally watch a high school basketball game. What team is holding it for 35 seconds? No one. No one. You are wasting time, resources. You're wasting it. It's wasted. Nobody's holding the ball for 35 seconds. One team. You got to be good to hold the ball for 35 seconds. I don't care what anybody says. You have to be good. Trust me. I've tried. Jenkins, I'm trying to hold the ball. It don't work.
You do.
It don't work.
But how many times?
No. I don't care. Let me finish. You cannot hold the ball in high school basketball. You are not holding it for 35 seconds. If you want to lose, go out there and try to hold it for 35 seconds. You're going to lose. Okay, you're going to lose. You have to be good. You have to be good to hold the ball for 35 seconds. I don't care what anybody says. Get Mark Pope. I don't care. Get him. Dick Vitale. I don't care. 35 seconds, you're not holding it. It don't happen. So why am I going to hire somebody to keep a shot clock when they don't know what the hell they're doing anyway? Why?
I can't wait.
Don't waste our time. Do not waste our time, Julian Tackett. Don't waste my time.
I can't wait.
Ain't nobody holding it for 35 seconds. Al Holland, infamous for Holland ball. Let me sit on it for a while. If you're down 6 to him, you might as well be down 30. He's still – go to a game and count how many seconds. Start a timer. He still ain't holding it for 35 seconds because ain't no high school team playing defense for 35 seconds. Or there ain't no team good enough to hold it from a team that might actually play defense for 35 seconds for 35 seconds.
Brady, me and you are going to travel.
It ain't happening. And I'm going to add this. We have the class – we have a D-class, you know, state tournament, right? As long as we have a not class state tournament, give the small dogs in this theory that we can hold the ball for 35 seconds, give the little dogs a chance against the big dogs by being able to play a little stall ball. As long as we are not classified, it shouldn't happen. Now, if they want to start a classified tournament and piss everybody off and us not be the king of mountain of bluegrass basketball anymore, then go ahead and have the shot clock. Go ahead. But every luster, every shiny toy we've ever had, everything that we've ever promoted in being the greatest basketball state on the planet is gone. It's gone. Don't do the shot clock. Forget it.
I'm just so because
you're talking about NCAA athletes. Of course NCAA does it. They got studs.
I'm so NBA excited.
Of course they do. They got freaking studs. Don't do it.
Wes, you want to call our friend Casey Huff at Knott County and tell him Winston's plan of attack this year? I think we kind of know.
I think we know what he's got planned.
I think he's planning
on. We're going to run it down your throat. I
tell you what I'm excited for. No, the Cavaliers are going to have a pretty decent team this year. I'm putting it into fruition right now. But I cannot wait for me and Brady and Austin Kidd to travel down to the 14th region tournament and see Jenkins' first appearance in a while. And when they're playing the Hazard Bulldogs, first time in 30 years, and they're playing the Hazard Bulldogs, and there's 2 minutes left to go in Winston's last game of the season if he don't win, and Al has held the ball for a minute and a half, and Winston's over there going crazy, I cannot wait to look at you and be like, I bet he wishes there was a shot clock.
And an 8-point shot with 3 seconds to go.
And an 8-point shot with 3 seconds to go.
If we make a shot, I'll be like, that's worth eight. That's worth eight.
Now, I don't care what you say. John Bentley came in to that regional tournament in 2018 and played perfect stall ball. And
he won the stall ball.
A regional championship from
him. He did.
He did. But you know whose fault that is? That ain't his fault. Knott County was better than him. Three out of the four teams that he played against. Oh, well, all three teams was arguably better than him that he played against, except for maybe the first round. But out of the eight teams, probably four of them was supposed to be better than him on paper. That's their fault. That is their fault. That is not John Bentley's fault.
Josh,
he's playing the card they have. That's somebody else's fault. If you the studs, then go be the studs. Like defensively and offensively, people don't consider the fact that if you a stud, you better be a stud on the other end as far as the offensive end. Also, if you've got the superior athlete, be a superior athlete on the defense end. It's like us against
Pike. 14th years player ago. Of the year on that team too.
They did.
Yeah.
So what? It took a great player for them to be able to play stall ball. You got to be great.
But
you know, you got to be good. They also had a really good young point guard.
Are constantly trying to find ways to make the game more exciting, Josh. You have probably watched more high school basketball than anybody in this chat because you film every one of them every day. All right. When a team goes to half court and puts the ball under their arm, the defense comes up, they pass it off, do a little weave, hold the ball. What do you hear?
The crowd.
Boo.
Listen, I will tell you this. I'll tell you this really quick. Is we did have a good enough team, but again, this was God rest his soul. This was BB2. We played Knott, who was probably 15 points better than us. Right?
Are you going to bring up when you beat us in the district tournament?
No, absolutely not.
Good. Okay, continue. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
That was me. This is Hammonds. So, you know, Hammonds was obviously infamous for this. And I don't care if he watches this. He knows it. And he went to a state final four. So I don't care. I love you, Hammonds. I hope you do watch this. So, you know, whatever. He had Jared Polson, though. But at any rate, we're playing Knott County, and it is district final. And no, it might be just a district game hosted at Letcher. But at any rate, you know, the point spread comes into play, right? And so we are down 9 in the second quarter. And Hammonds is like, it's our ball. There's 4.5 minutes left. Actually, there might be more time than that. I would have to let him confirm. 4.5 minutes left. Get this.
Unconfirmed. 4.5 minutes.
We go four corners. We go spread, right? We go like Dean Smith, like everybody hit a corner.
Who were you playing? BB?
Knott County. This is, we were playing BB. We were playing Knott County. And they were probably, again, this is like Cam's era. They were probably 15 points better than us. And we go.
I can hear my Knott County people right now. Boo.
We go four corners with literally like 5 minutes left. I'm saying 4.5 to be nice. I really think it was 5 minutes left. We hold the ball for the last shot of the quarter. I'm not exaggerating. And the crowd was booing. I mean, they did everything but throw something. I'll tell you how bad it was. We hold for the last shot. We miss it. We go into halftime down 9. And our fans are mad. Their fans are, Knott County's fans are livid. I'm walking Hammonds to the locker room because our home bench was opposite diagonal to the locker room. And I'm walking with Hammonds to the locker room. And we're talking, and I'm like, I'm protecting him. Like, I'm literally, at this point, not playing assistant coach. I'm playing bodyguard. And down the stairs, I know this woman, and she's great. I forgot her name, but she is a Knott County fan through and through, was at every game. You could hear her just redneck screaming from the crowd. And you could not even hear her voice at this point. You could hear just stomping down the bleachers. And I look up, and she's waving that finger, and she's coming dead ass for us out on the floor. Hold the ball. Hold the ball. That's all you do. Hold the ball. It's a bunch of BS. No, whoa, whoa. And I had to protect him. Like, I'm a bodyguard. I had to bump this woman. Not bump her, but I was like, she's on me. Like, breathing on me. And I'm not blocking it like this, so she can't get to our coach. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. But you know what? After it was all over, you know, we're talking with our AD at the time, of course, Og Jackson, who's legendary in Wattsburg. And it's like, you didn't do anything bad. Like, you were down 9. You were down, you know, what if you went into halftime down 6 or 7? You did the right thing, you know? So,
well,
I'm still a huge fan of, you know, they got entertained. That was entertaining.
There was some entertainment.
Big Mama coming
out.
That
was entertainment, yes.
That was great.
Entertainment. I will tell you.
All of us, we're sorry you had to deal with that, Wes.
We are. I will tell you on the flip side of that. As a young assistant coach at Alice Lloyd College, I once went to South Laurel High School. My parents lived in Clay County. It was an opportunity for me to go home and see my parents, recruit a local kid. Harlan County, the Black Bears of Harlan County roll into South Laurel to play the Cardinals. Harlan County had a young man that we were very interested in. Okay, I'm not going to say his name on here because I don't know if he wants this to be told that we didn't recruit him or not. Anyway, Harlan County at South Laurel, I sit through, and Harlan County is playing stall ball because South Laurel was really good. They were really good. And they knew the score had to be low.
Okay? Yeah.
So I get a little bit bored. I go get some popcorn. I talk to a few people. I walk around. I stay as long as I can. I have intentions of really talking to this kid after the game. I want to evaluate him and recruit him. This is a true story. And some of my listeners might remember this. At the start of the fourth quarter, the score was South Laurel 12, Harlan County 9. I did not stay to talk to the kid because I didn't know if the kid could play or not. I didn't know. I didn't see him shoot a shot. I didn't watch him dribble.
I'm sorry, but I...
Hell of a passer.
I'm going to stick to my guns on this. Like, I love that. I love that about high school Kentucky basketball. I just love that. I think if you take that away, I think we lose something. That's just where I stand. And it might be the wrong stance, but I just, you know, and right now it's something that we get to keep. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm teaching the kids right now in class about Thomas Paine's Common Sense. And it's like, if you do the wrong thing for so long, it almost feels right. And I don't want to fall into that situation where we've done the wrong thing for so long, it feels right. But, man, it's just going to feel bad if we don't have the shot clock anymore. Or if we never have the shot. If we have a shot clock, it would just make me feel bad.
That is a great quote, though. What do you think? There's something that you've done for so long that just feels right.
I don't think
not to get away from the topic of sports, but if you sit there and you think about it,
now you got me thinking, like, what have I done something so wrong for so long that it feels right.
Like, so Thomas Paine's point was like, we've been following this king for so long that it seems right, but it's really not. And he had an excellent point. And then of course we go on to a war, but it's like, yeah, I do it all the time. I use the analogy with the kids is like I speed on my way to work. Like I do that so often and drive fast so often that it feels like I'm doing nothing wrong.
I was trying to think of something. That's a good example. Yeah.
Right. Like it feels like I'm doing nothing wrong. But one day he ended the quote with, but time will eventually serve your consequence. Right. So it's like in due time. I can bet on, which I just hydroplaned and totaled a car 2 weeks ago. So in due time, you know, it'll catch up with you. So it's pretty interesting.
I'm going to give you a riddle. And I think this goes perfect with the shot clock.
Oh God, we're still on this.
And I think it goes perfect with Thomas Paine's Common Sense.
Y'all didn't know you're getting a history lesson for that.
So I'm in a training right now, and I actually sent this to a fellow high school coach. Shout out to Coach Caleb Nelson at Madisonville North, who just had a player walk on at Kentucky. We're going to talk about in just a minute as a junior and frat house president, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Well deserved.
I sent this to Caleb today, Coach Nelson today. This is a riddle. So ever who gets it gets 5 bonus points here. You ready? We've turned into
trivia. That.
Yeah, we've turned into what's the ESPN show where they get points?
Around the Horn.
Around the Horn. Yeah.
In my opinion, the best of what is left of the ESPN shows.
Love it. I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well turn over to me, and I will do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I'll do it automatically. I am the servant of great people and, alas, of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I'm not a machine, though I work with the precision of one, plus the intelligence of a person. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. But be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? Think about that.
I'm gonna say time.
It correlates.
I
don't know.
It's got to be something inspirational. You're in a training. I am.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm not.
Practice, practice, time. What we got?
Habit. Habit.
Oh man, I was all over that.
Habit.
Practice is so close to habit.
And it essentially goes with what Thomas Paine says, right? You do something wrong long enough that it feels right. It
Yeah,
goes
you're
along with habits.
sure.
So bad habits like shot
He
clocks.
also had some interesting, I won't go into this, but he also had some interesting quotes about vices. I'll let everybody else figure that out. They can look that up.
I do want to bring up, since we mentioned it, news broke during Pro Day of University of Kentucky. I talked to you guys in the group chat a little bit about this. Josh, you're not in that one. I apologize. You probably don't want to be in that one. However,
No. No.
Madisonville North Hopkins, this was before I went out there and started coaching with Coach John Newton, but he played for Coach John Newton for 3 years, 4 years at 3 years at Madisonville North Hopkins. Our guy goes to Kentucky, had a good high school career, did a lot of things. He wasn't a Mr. Basketball like John Hood at Madisonville North. He didn't get a scholarship to play college basketball anywhere, but goes to Kentucky. And from my understanding of everybody that knows this guy really well, he literally plays basketball religiously. He's in the rec gym, he's playing intramural leagues, just working his tail off. And John Calipari leaves. Mark Pope comes into town, holds this open tryout for the 15th spot on the roster, right? We've not seen this in a while, right, Brady, at Kentucky, I assume. We have an open tryout, which, from my understanding, is essentially an NCAA rule that you kind of have a tryout to an extent.
Kiffin pulled a kicker out of the frat house.
So yeah, we had
Yeah.
that too. But to see a kid make it, one that's not played basketball in over 3 years, and he makes this team and his debut is out here on Pro Day. How about that for a kid? How excited would you have to be for somebody? Like, that's an accomplishment, right?
That's, I mean, the fact he was able to stay in shape,
Right.
at that level.
I mean, not, I know you guys are all college athletes. I mean, I wouldn't have been, I wasn't in shape after 3 years of out of college. I mean, in college.
And that's the thing, right? We're not talking about Alice Lloyd College. We're not talking about UPike. We're not talking about Lindsey Wilson. We're talking about the University of Kentucky, and a kid, this frat president, is out here making the team.
Which frat is it?
That's a great question. That would probably tell a lot. But shout out to Zach Tao, man.
I think it's cool. I think that's part of like, wait, what does his dad have any money?
He comes from a good family.
I think it's part of like, I think it's part of this Mark Pope movement, like wholesome movement. We have an open tryout and give a hardworking kid that wants to be on the team an opportunity to be on the team, and we give him a jersey. Like, I think this is, and granted, like, there's not every year I'm sure he'll be afforded this opportunity, but we just so happen to have this one spot available. And you need, and Brady can attest to this, is like, you got managers that run, you got, but you need the one other, you need a full roster, right? In order to, there's practice situations and situations that you need that one more body. So it's like, if you can fill it, you need to fill it with whoever, right? Like, how
You
many
need
dudes in the past that
defenders.
how many dudes in the past has Calipari filled that spot with anybody, right? Like, and I'm sure there's some behind the scenes, like, this is why we put this guy where he is and on the roster. And I mean, we've seen that evident work in camp year after year, but it's like I appreciate the fact that Pope just opened the door and gave an opportunity to a kid that just wanted the opportunity. And I hope it, how cool is it going to be whenever, we're up and in a game and he's able to come in the game, or he's able to work, Robbie Moss was he got a ton of minutes and became one of the greatest walk-ons, the greatest walk-on of all time at the University of Kentucky, and got considerable minutes. Like, who says that's not possible, especially under a guy like Mark Pope, who seems to, like, probably award great work ethic. So, you know, hats off to the kid, and hats off to Mark Pope for opening up the door and giving somebody on campus that opportunity.
Yeah, I'm excited. If I'm a business in Madisonville, I'm probably reaching out and doing an NIL deal with this kid, right? Just for the heck of it. You know, he's a hometown kid. He goes and does that. Give this kid some money.
Sure.
Let's reward him. Let's reward him.
Hometown 24. give this kid some money. I'm kidding. Give me the money.
We'll get him on the
give
show.
Give me the money.
HT24 sponsors him. We'll get him on the show. Speaking of Kentucky, let's get back. We've got a big game this weekend. It's one of the – I'm actually going to be out of town this weekend, and I'm going to have a great time where I'm going, but I'm kind of regretful that this is the weekend I'm making. Vanderbilt beats Alabama. We talked about earlier. Pieces of the goalpost are selling for around $5,000.
What?
Yeah. So this goalpost that was thrown into the river gets pulled out. Pieces of it for a little over $4,000 were sold. The other day, it's sold out. The goalpost is sold now. It's gone. Sold out quick. But you know, it creates an interesting game. We go on the road and beat Ole Miss. Vandy beats Alabama. Now you got one of the biggest games in college football. You also have a lot of people expect the return of running back Chip Traynham to Kentucky football, who a lot of people think might make a big difference, even though our running game hasn't been terrible. How do we see this game going? Winston, you talked about the line, 13.5. We talked about how we could probably see that shrink. Josh, this is one of the big things that I really wanted you to join us with today so that you're on both sides of this, because you're an avid Kentucky football guy. Let's talk about Saturday. What are we looking forward to?
Defense, I think. I mean, I think Kentucky's defense is by far better than Alabama, or at least what Alabama showed against Vandy.
Is it the best in the country?
I don't know about that, which I ain't watched a lot of other teams play. I imagine Texas is probably pretty good.
They're ranked first in defense, total defense.
They have to be up there pretty close, I assume.
How do we feel, Winston? You're going to be in Chattanooga. I'm sure that.
I'll be watching. I was in Greenville, South Carolina. Greenville, love that town. Absolutely beautiful. You know, top places I would move for sure if I ever had to. But I was in Greenville last year for our anniversary trip, and just so happened we played Missouri that week. And I sat at a lonely rooftop bar and watched us squander that game away after being up, I believe, 14-0. And I watched that just absolutely crumble into a loss. And I try not to be upset in front of my wife on our anniversary trip. So I'm praying that I'm not upset in Chattanooga on my anniversary trip, but I'm worried. The thing that gives me the greatest hope, I will say, it shouldn't be the word hope. Confidence is probably the term. Like, the line's 13.5, and I will admit that Vegas always knows way more than I do. So I'm going to say that I'm confident that Kentucky will win this game. And what gives me more confidence, probably even more so than our defense, is, like, as a coach, and y'all can attest to this, is, like, as a coach, you know that emotional waves happen. You go up, you go down, like, they happen. And I think maybe, like, you know, Alabama beats Georgia in this emotional spot, and then they come back the next week on the road at Vandy and lose this game to a good Vandy team, not a great Vandy team probably, even though a really good Vandy team, right? Took Missouri to the wire at Missouri, probably should have won that game, you know, and then turn around and beat Alabama at home. So, but now they're on the road to a good SEC opponent that's coming off of a bye that then just came out of a huge win at the Grove. And, like,
a stadium that's going to be loud.
We had a week for this to process, and we've had a week to prepare. They are coming off the heels of probably the greatest win in their pro. Let's not, I mean, don't cut it short. This is the greatest win in Vanderbilt history. It's not even close, right? It's the greatest victory in Vanderbilt history. And they're coming off the heels of that on the road to a good SEC opponent that is coming off of a bye week and a great win. Like, and the difference is it's at Kentucky. Like, if it was at Vandy, I'd be like, ah, God, like this stadium is going to be, you know, the construction site is going to be packed in Nashville. So the fact it's at Kentucky, the fact we're coming off a bye, the fact that Vandy actually upset Alabama last week, I have full confidence that we're going to win this game. Now, do I think that we win by 13.5 that Vegas has given us? Probably not. I could see us winning this game by 10. You know, I could see us winning this game by a touchdown. I could see us winning this game by 3, even though I don't want that because I don't want to be nervous as hell on my anniversary trip. But at any rate, I'm confident. And I'm confident in the defense, even though I do think the Vanderbilt offense is kind of scary. I love that quarterback. Yeah. His name leaves me all the time. I think he's just a competitor. He reminds me of like a Baker Mayfield. Like he just competes.
He competes.
Right? He just gets down and dirty and makes a play. And it don't matter what it is, running the ball, throwing the ball, whatever he has to do, he just does it. But I tend to think that Brock Vandergriff is probably going to do that for us come Saturday. And I heard a quote from Vanderbilt's quarterback. What's his name? It starts with a P. Somebody tell it to me. What is his name? But the quarterback quote was like, they're like, how are you looking forward to this game? What are you telling to your locker room? And he's like, well, I'm telling my locker room that we are now playing for college football playoff. So if you want to make it, we're going to go to Lexington and take care of business. And he's, you know, he's not crazy. I mean, you tell me Vanderbilt could play their way into it. He's not crazy. And so that worries me a little bit, but I got to think that Vandergriff and the boys and Stoops are on, you know, they've been in practice for now the past 2 weeks saying the same thing. Here we are in the middle of the SEC. Tennessee just lost. Alabama just lost. We almost beat Georgia. We just beat Ole Miss at the Grove. We can do this. We can go on a run of epic proportion and we can make the college playoff.
We could.
I don't know if you go to that end. I think maybe you take more of a week-by-week approach. But at any rate, I think both teams know this is a huge game, and the fact that it's at Lexington coming off the heels of an emotional win for Vanderbilt, I think that we take care of business.
Well, we mentioned last week, you know, that I think it was almost in an agreement by the end of the episode that this Vanderbilt game was one of the biggest games we're going to see, you know, getting out of this bye week. And then Vandy has several players on the injury report for Saturday, several starters that are out or questionable. They've been beat up. We had this bye week. We rested. We're probably going to have train them back. And then you have to think, you know, at this point, we had those D-line and O-line flaws earlier against South Carolina. That has improved against better teams. We saw it against Georgia. We saw it against Ole Miss. So you have to think our O-line will give Vandergriff a little bit better time to put up a few more points, get a lot more passes off than what he's been in previous games. I don't see Vanderbilt's defense being able to keep us from that. On the flip side, our defense, we gave Georgia and Ole Miss fits, especially on the D-line. So I can't imagine Vanderbilt, as good as Pavia is the quarterback you were talking about, as good as Pavia is, I don't see them being able to put – I've seen a lot of score predictions that are like 30-19, 30-17. I could see us maybe getting 30 points, 24-30, somewhere around in that scenario. I cannot see Vanderbilt getting that many points against us.
No, I don't think so. And I think that's another thing is I think we're consistently, as the weeks go on, finding our offense, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we saw Dane Key have, you know, incredible game. Played like a guy that's going to be playing on Sundays.
Two games. Too long. He's two had games. An incredible two games.
Yep, and over 100 yards receiving both games.
But it feels like to me every time we come out bye week, it's almost like a major letdown for us.
How much does this mean to Mark Stoops, though? You got to think, right?
Right? Like every time we come out of a bye week, we think that we're chomping at the bit and we come out and have a million penalties. Yeah. We can't be killing ourselves and be lackadaisical coming out of a bye week. Like I hope this is the 1 year that we come out of the bye week and we're sharp. and surely to God. And I do agree that, but geez, I don't see us scoring 30. I think this is going to be like a 24-14 game, right? Like a 21-10 game, I hope, or a 21-14 game. Like, I don't see us getting 30.
I want to think that the Kentucky players, this is something we mentioned before, I want to think that the Kentucky players have a hope that's alive, right? You know, they're thinking Winston. In the crazy scenario, we make the college playoffs. We upset either Tennessee or Texas.
Can we play in the playoff? Are we punished?
That's a great question.
I think we're punished. I don't think we can even play in the playoff.
Might be right.
I think I'm right. I think for the next 2 years, we can't even play in the playoff.
I thought it was just 1 year. Is it 2 years?
I don't know. And I didn't know if it went into effect this year or I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Was I don't think we can play in the playoff. But, I mean, you know, still, it's like a pride issue, right? As great as you would want that to be. I think I've never had an issue with anybody on this team not playing hard. Like, I don't see anybody on this University of Kentucky football team. Like, granted, we sucked at the South Carolina game. I'm bringing it up again. But I don't think it's been an issue of not playing hard. I mean, obviously, we played the tails off against Georgia. It's like I said, we were making the hit, extra hit every play. And then for us to win last week was just like unreal. So I don't think playing hard or the pride issue is going to be the thing. I think it's like Josh is saying, like, I think more than anything, it's going to be mentally just focused in this game. There is so many times that I feel like we get bogus penalties and we get just stupid things happen. I think against Ole Miss, we finally saw a team that created their own break for themselves. So I hope we don't lose that come Saturday.
So here's the update. We are not banned from playoff competition.
Okay.
The agreement was, it was kind of like a settlement that was reached, right? So it was like we kind of pled guilty, but also said we didn't know that it was going on. We reached an agreement. I think the NCAA was probably a little bit lenient with the agreement because of NIL and everything else that's going on in today's world.
Probation.
So the agreement was probation, 2 years probation, and vacating all of the wins from that 10-3 season that those players played in, which was most of them. But with that being said, it was agreed we would pay a fine, but would not receive a postseason ban. That was part of the agreement.
Okay. Then we're playing for the playoff.
So you have to think that keeps a hope alive that Vanderbilt probably does not have, right? Vanderbilt has a tough schedule coming up too.
And I think you said this though, is like, I think it's really important for these guys to be, you know, if you're Kentucky and you've played with Georgia and you beat Ole Miss, like, I think it becomes a thing that you want to be in the AP top 25. Like, I want to be ranked. If I'm a college football player at the University of Kentucky, like, I want that on for our team and on my name. So it's like, I think you're not just, like I said, the week by week is like, I don't know if I'm necessarily going in there guns blazing saying we're playing for the national championship, but I am like, hey guys, like, we're playing for something here, right? Like, you have the opportunity ahead of you to possibly play in a playoff game, but you also have the immediate opportunity ahead of you to be a ranked college football team, right? To be amongst, to separate yourself from the middle of the pack in the SEC and become something better. So it's like, maybe you use that as your kind of, you know, fan the flame.
So let's go through the lines for Saturday. -13.5, which if you had to place a bet right now for it to stick, are you going with the Kentucky spread or the Vandy spread?
Vandy spread, definitely.
Vandy.
I'm going Vandy plus 13.5.
I'm going with the Kentucky win, but the Vandy. I still think we win by 7 or 10. There's something crazy in there. Like there's probably something crazy that happens, like a failed 2-point or a missed field goal or something crazy that happens, because that always happens with us. But somewhere in between 3 and 13, 14 is what we win by.
So 44 and a half is the over under. Are you going over 44 and a half? Or are you going under 44 and a half?
Under,
yeah.
Under, but like if you're doing under, then you're, yeah, under.
Isn't it? It's close, right? I mean, I said 24-14, so I got to go with the under. But
Vegas knows what they're doing.
I'm going to stick to that. Even if it's 27-17, you're still not even, you're flirting with it, but you're just flirting with it. So I'm going to stay with the under on 44 and a half. I'm going to stay with the under. I'm going to say Vandy. That's a tough bet. Think about that bet. That's a tough bet. You're talking about a small window that you have to win that bet. And if you took Vandy plus 13 and a half and the under, like that, you only got a small window to win that bet. That plus is probably pretty decent if you took both of those.
I'm keeping these bets. I've got these recorded.
Go for it. I'm not betting them. Go ahead and use your own money.
Well, I tried to get you on play Kentucky money line against Ole Miss, and y'all wouldn't do it.
You did.
You did. You did.
I would be the first to tell you that I had this number of confidence.
And that's a zero. That's a zero.
I just don't think Ole Miss is that good.
I think offensively, I think they're pretty good. But did I think?
Well, you got to think also too what it took to win that game. We made a play. We made a 1 out of 1 million play.
And a big fumble.
That Vandegrift, the Vandegrift to Berrien was, I mean, that's a 1 in 100 play, right? We went bomb. We went long bomb 1-on-1 outside edge on 4th and 7.
And guys, recovered a fumble in the end zone to score a touchdown.
Yeah, we did. We recovered a fumble in the end zone. How often is that? But like, we made a couple plays that were really small percentage plays to win that game. Not saying we didn't would deserve to win that game, but man, we had to catch 2 breaks to win that game, which at that point on the touchdown and fumble recovery in the end zone, we deserved to score. I don't know if we were going to score a touchdown, but we deserved to score at that point. So, you got to look at it that way also. It's like it wasn't like a fluke that we didn't deserve to score the ball at that point. We deserved to score. But I mean, I just go back to that 4th and 7 play. Like, God, you talk about the percentages of actually pulling that play off is very, very small.
One of the things I'm really happy about with Kentucky's success on the road with Ole Miss, I feel like it has taken Winston's attention a little bit off of the 1-4 start of Cincinnati, our Northern friend. So I want to hop into that real quick, Winston. We've got our friend Joe and his new NSYNC hairdo going on here in Cincinnati that's led us to a 1-4 start. We've got the Giants on Sunday, who is a team before this week, anybody with an NFL mind would have probably chalked up another W for Cincinnati. How do we feel traveling to New York?
I just don't know anymore. I mean, Joe Burrow has thrown for over 1,200 yards in 5 games. He's got 12 touchdowns. He's only got 2 interceptions. He is playing at an elite MVP level.
Playing great.
And we are 1-4. They have lost to Kansas City on a fluke, 4th and 20. Something PI call, right? Which I will say he did PI, right? Stupid. Don't do it. Let him catch the ball. So, and it was an uncatchable ball anyway, but he did PI. lose that game by a possession. And I was, thank God, thank you, Jesus. I was in North Carolina doing some demo flood relief on Sunday, and I missed this field goal flop, debacle, I guess, debacle. I would have rather been in North Carolina literally digging up mud to my waist. I was in a creek. I would have rather been there. It was full of poop. I would have rather been there than watch what happened on Sunday afternoon concerning the Bengals. I mean, but it's like, who do these things happen to? And I almost feel bad for Zach Taylor. It's like, what have you done in your life to deserve this? A blotched field goal? We're talking about professional athletes. That happens in high school. And then, like, the game is done. Just kick it. They lost to the Steelers last year that way. Like, what are we doing? Why does this happen to us? And then that PI call. And then the other game they lost was by possession. Like, the 4 games that they've lost, like, 2 of those should have definitely been wins. And you probably look back, like, 3 of those should have been wins. I mean, honestly, they should be 4-1. And instead, they're 1-4. And it's like Zach Taylor said this week, we just got to find a way to win. Well, guess what, honey? It's on you. Figure it out. Because Joe's doing everything he can do. Fire your defensive coordinator. Do something.
And we finally got our guy T. Higgins playing well.
Offensively, it's fine. I mean, defensively, it's a crap show. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe Helene might as well carry them boys off.
I think it's time, we had Landon Young for the Saints on the show, and they went on a tear. They almost looked like Super Bowl favorites for the first couple games of the season after being on the show. Do we need to get Zach Taylor on here?
I think he would come on the show. I mean, I mean, we're probably the only show that wants him.
Are you, is this like a career resurrector?
This is a career resurrector, man. When you come on this show, you're guaranteed a weekend win.
You may need to get, like, maybe Deshaun Watson on here or something, man.
It's going to come to the point where Josh is going to have to start paying me to do this show every day of the week because it doesn't last. You're on the show, you're going to do good that weekend. I can't promise you after that.
But then it's over. You know, Derek Carr is out now. Spencer Rattler is going to start this weekend. I do want to mention really quick, and speaking about NFL and my frustrations with the NFL, my fantasy teams are doing fine. But, of course, me, you, and Brady, you introduced us this year to this pick'em. And we've been having a blast amongst us three because we don't know these other dudes. They're strangers. But we've been begging to get in the chat and make ourselves friendly.
We got to win one week.
Once I win a week, I will enter this chat. But for right now, it's me, you, and Brady. And Brady had a heck of a week last week. And I think he's only, what, 3 games back now? I'm 4 games back.
Let me see where we're at.
I think you're 4 games back. I'm like 3 or 4 games back. I think Blue's right there with us at like 4 or 5 games back. Like
I think we're tiered. I think you're 1 game behind Brady. I'm 1 game behind you, I think.
Winston, wow. So you were tied, yeah.
Yeah, me and you were tied. So, okay. I've not won any money, but I've had so much. I've had more fun. I've had just as much fun in this pickle, I think, than not as much as my fantasy football, but in any other aspect of NFL football and watching. Like the fact the Bengals are 1-4, I've lived with because I've had so much fun with the pickle, and that's really helped my. It's helped my heart. But I'm telling you, Dolphin. What's his name? Dolphin Fun? Like some stupid name. Stupid. What's his name? He's never going to watch this. Dolphin Fun Nuts 3.
Dolphin Nut 13.
Dolphin Nut. Dolphin Nut. Do you know what that means, Dolphin Nut? I'm coming for you. Dolphin Nut, you're going to lose. I hope he watches this. I don't know who he is. I only know him as Dolphin. Dolphin Nut? Are you serious?
Dolphin Nut 13.
With the Z, nut. No plural.
Dolphinut. Dolphin Nut.
I got news for you, Dolphin Nut. The Finns suck. They're worse than the Bengals. And I'm coming for you on Pick'em, Dolphin Nut.
It is declared. Winston is coming for Dolphin Nut in the Pick'em League. I'm really excited to see how that plays out. You know, I really wanted to pick the brain. I mentioned the training I'm in. I'm in there with a former guy that got drafted by the Dolphins. He made a quote today. I almost wanted to laugh. He told us that he got drafted. He played for the Ohio State Buckeyes. His name is George Cooper. If anybody remembers George Cooper from the Buckeyes, started at Ohio State for 3 years as a running back, went to the NFL, and got drafted in the sixth round by the Dolphins, would eventually get traded to the Packers. And it was really funny because, you know, I've got some people in this training that probably know nothing about NFL. And this one lady goes, "Oh, the Packers is my husband's favorite team." And George Cooper, he goes by Coop. Coop says, "Well, they're not mine. They cut me."
Even if you could try to pick his brain at this point, I mean, give me the smartest, give me Chris Berman, give me whoever you think is the guru. I want to know who it is, because they can't tell you what's going to happen. Nobody, college football, Kirk Herbstreit, you know, they all picked against the Cats last week. They don't know what's going on. Lee Corso ain't known what's going on for the last decade. But they don't know what's going on. NFL dudes, they have no idea. I mean, Randy Moss, he might as well be living back in West Virginia. They have no clue. Nobody does. Nobody can guess what's going to happen. The Broncos are 3-2 with Bo Nix. The Broncos.
Yep.
They're terrible.
Yep.
The Panthers won a game with Andy Dalton. They're terrible. The Falcons, Kirk Cousins, 500 yards. They're not even that good. They won last week. That cost me big time in the pick'em. They're terrible. And, you know, these teams are terrible, and they're winning football games. It's crazy. It's crazy.
In the defense of the Bengals, one of those teams you did not mention that I don't know that anybody expected, really, but Jaden Daniels from the Commanders is going to be legit. He's already legit.
If there is one thing, okay, if there is one thing I will die by this football season, especially fantasy football season, is that I read an article earlier in the summer. You know, when I go on vacation, I'm studying for fantasy football. I get me a magazine. I pay the stupid $13 or whatever. I get a magazine. A lot of people don't know this. I get the magazine. I take my beverage. I go on the beach. And if I can pour myself just an hour, a couple hours at a time on the beach, I'm reading about fantasy football. And so I caught an article in the particular magazine that I had. And there's like, you know, during the summer, there's racks full that you could choose from. I usually choose the ESPN, but this year I went with something different. And in the article, it just mentioned the fact that Kingsbury was going to be the offensive coordinator of the Redskins. And here's what he did with Kyler Murray at quarterback. Okay. His new quarterback, who was already named starting quarterback more previously before any other rookie quarterback was named starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Similar skill set. You know, he can rush, he can throw, he's a lot taller, probably would argue even more better athletically put together than Kyler Murray, and he's going to be his quarterback. And once they named Jaden Daniels the quarterback so early, like in July, I was like, okay, this is happening. And I read that article, and I was like, okay, I think Jaden Daniels is going to be pretty good. And even watching him last year at LSU, like, there were games that Jaden Daniels put LSU on his back and just didn't lose. Like, and it meant scoring 60 points. Like, it literally meant scoring 50 points. And he just didn't lose. Now, granted, he had Neighbors, who was obviously very good, has proven himself very good. I dread, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know if Neighbors is out this way. If Neighbors is out, we might be okay, but he was questionable. So, at any rate, like, I will hang my hat on the fact that I took Jaden Daniels on my fantasy team. I waited on a quarterback forever, which I always do, but it was like 10th round. I'm taking Jaden Daniels, and it's paid dividends on my fantasy team, and I will hang my hat on it.
Which, fun fact, Jaden Daniels was the Arizona State quarterback while Cliff Kingsbury was with the Cardinals in the same city.
And that is an interesting fact. I did not know that.
They were in the same city.
Well, I have this theory that if they stay together, and, you know, obviously right now, like, people are whispering that there hasn't been a rookie MVP since, like, the 70s. I forgot who it was. Somebody could look that up.
I mean, really, when was it in any sport?
It's happened in the NFL, but it happened one time, and I forgot who it was. And it was somebody very
– had to have been a quarterback,
right? It was old school. It was like – it was a – I want to say it was a quarterback. Somebody can look it up. I don't have access to a laptop. Josh, you got access to your laptop at the moment? Somebody got their laptop?
What do you want?
The rookie MVP in the NFL. How many times has it been done? I think it's been done once. Who was it? When was it? But I've somebody mentioned that this week. And as of right now,
Jim Brown.
Jim freaking Brown. What was 19, that?
1957.
I was going to say 1960. 1957.
The and only person that came close was the one and only. Can you take a guess? It was recent.
Rookie. Very recent.
The only person that's came close.
It wasn't Patty. It wasn't Patty Mahomes. CJ Stroud, who is having an excellent, you know, usually you get these athletes that have a serious, especially in the NFL, quarterbacks have a serious sophomore slump. He is not. CJ Stroud's been great. But Jaden Daniels, as long as he is with Kingsbury, man, like, I think he has the opportunity. If he doesn't win MVP this year, he will win MVP if they stay together.
He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, if they stay together and he stays healthy. I will say the one thing about him is when you watch him, he will make you nervous. It's like RG3 or, like, you know, Vince Young, or Lamar. He's like Lamar, right? When he first came to the league, it's like he's electric, but he's got to learn when to and when not to as far as protecting his body. And I've seen him actually do better the past couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen him do better the past couple weeks. You got to learn how to fall. And so I think he's learning that over the last couple of weeks. I've seen him get out of bounds early. I've seen him slide earlier. He's learning. Like in college football, he could afford to take an extra hit or two. In the NFL, you can't. I've never seen the lack of injuries in my life in the NFL. There's somebody getting hurt every play.
Nico, what is it? Nico got hurt.
Nico's out for the next 4 weeks. I think they put him on IR. Of course, McCaffrey's not played the whole year. You know, arguably the best player in the NFL. So, I mean, it's like, you know, this is crazy. But the good news is I do think, and granted, we just talked about Derek Carr, but I think quarterbacks probably had the greatest likelihood of playing more than anybody else.
You remember last year how all the quarterbacks got hurt?
Yeah. Well, they all – like, it's just extremely difficult now in the NFL's, you know, everybody's bigger, stronger, faster, and you're playing on turf. It's like, at some point, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, Brady just mentioned, we saw that with Joe Burrow last year and even those opportunities there. Yeah, very, very good point. I'm curious to see. I think the Bengals can go 2-4 after this week. I think Giants on the road, it's a 3.5-point favorite. I think they cover that spread, and I think they get the money line win against the Giants. And I think
three and a half makes me want to vomit.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
better take the ultimate. You better take the all at 2.5, because you know what'll happen. You know what'll happen.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not putting it above the Giants to pull the old who did it? McVay did it last year. Remember when McVay lined up and kicked a field goal for no reason at all?
Yep.
They were down 10. And they were not going to win this game. And the time is expiring. McVay lines up and kicks a field goal just to beat the line. Right? Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not putting it above anybody anymore. Like, you better take the alt 2.5 if it's 3.5.
Well, Cincinnati gets the win. Kentucky gets the win. Winston celebrates his marriage and the winning of all the money on the under bets on the years of marriage. Brady,
I'm on
hey, I gotta still pass my kidney stone.
Brady is still you've still not passed the kidney stone?
I haven't passed it yet.
Oh,
I didn't
gosh.
Know you had one.
I got one right now, man.
Number three.
Drinking water.
Brady passes the kidney stone. And Josh, I don't know what you have going on this weekend. You've been volleyballing.
Josh
all
is
week.
Getting ready. Josh is getting ready to go hunting.
Well, we got Paintsville at Hazard this weekend. Football. Without
Paintsville at Hazard.
That's right. Without me. Yeah. That'll be an interesting one. Hazard should be okay. But I mean, Paintsville is always a little sneaky. The fact it's at Hazard, everybody knows the hauler is worth 15.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta love it. I'm in a bluegrass festival this weekend. Brady's also not only going to pass the kidney stone, I think he's going to win his $100 back on his golf challenge that sets up.
Oh, gosh.
Down on maybe he moves it to University Drive this weekend and gets that money back.
See what happens. We'll
Watch
see.
Out for those girls in blue wigs.
We'll see what happens. I think I'm banned from that now. Per my wife.
Emily's put, if Brady does that again, he's not going to make it to the year 7 mark with Winston to celebrate.
Make it $10. Make it $10.
I know. Not
for those of you that are curious, we like to run a little money scheme at the Kentucky tailgate where we set up this impossible challenge and we pick the most unlikely people to ever have done this challenge in their life. And it's $1 a chance to win $100. And Brady just so happened to pick these young ladies, bless their hearts. They were there decked out in their blue, ready to support the Cats, had never held a golf club in their life. And girl gets up there and sinks it and wins her $100 on this long putt.
No.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then to make it worse, here's these young college girls in their blue wigs, and Brady agrees to take a picture with the winner, and the picture gets sent to the wife, and it's over.
It's just, I didn't get counseled by that by Winston before the wedding.
No. You can have a post wedding counseling. We should plan that.
All right.
We should counsel each other.
1 year check-in.
Where do you want to do that at?
Probably at a UK tailgate.
All right.
I think that's the perfect opportunity. Perfect opportunity. Oh, thank you guys for joining us on another episode of You Know the Drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Thank you, Josh, for editing all the many edits we have in these shows. Ladies and gentlemen, until next week, we love you. You know the drill.